ماركس صحابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة, we welcome you to this program, الفقه على المذاهب الأربعة, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. The date today is the 18th of Dhul Qadah, 1444, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 8th of June 2023. Our topic today is the different animals that is to be slaughtered. We have our Honorable Mufti Saab, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab, Damat Barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa zaid khan, jazakallahu khairan.
Those who have questions, you can send your queries to the number 084-786-3132, foreign country plus 27-84-786-3132. Mufti Saab, a non-Muslim asks that, I find your slaughtering process to be really disturbing. I mean, you people put a knife to the animal.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My brother, I don't know your name, so we'll just say Tom, Dick and Harry or Tom, Dick and Mary. So anyway, let's go to the start. Who is Almighty Allah Jalla Wala? Chapter 7, verse number 151. وَدَخِلْنَا فِي رَحْمَتِكَ. O Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, include us in your special, special mercy. Whilst you alone, O Almighty Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. So it is our belief, Almighty Allah is the most merciful one to show mercy. Who is the Prophet, peace be upon him? Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Chapter 21, verse 107. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have not sent you, Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but as a mercy to the entire universe and creation. So this is enshrined in the Noble Quran, and that is chapter 21 and verse number 107. So there Almighty Allah has made it very, very clear. So He, Almighty Allah, is the most merciful one to show mercy. He, the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was, is, will always be the only mercy to the entire universe and creation from the creation. Third one, what did he, Nabi alayhi salatu salam, teach us, the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, teach us authentic teaching, saying, preaching, in Abu Dawood, Mishkat Sharif, Inna Allah katab al-ihsan, verily Almighty Allah has prescribed and ordained that you do good to the creation of Allah. كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانِ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, on everything. فَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا. And when you slaughter the animal, so whichever animal it might be, the goat, the sheep, the chicken, the cow, the camel, whatever, then it must be done that in a humane manner. So take three things which Islam teaches, and then we will juxtapose and compare it with what's happening. Before we slaughter the animal, then wal yurih dhabihatahu, give your animal water. I was a very young boy. I told you 100 times, I was born in a location, African location, and in the backyard, I can still remember vividly, clearly, my father, myself, we were just keen observers and spectators, and my mother, she would, beloved mother, would slaughter and so forth. I'm speaking about the chicken and so forth. So she would always ensure that the animal, the chicken, whatever, must drink some water, one. Two, the slaughtering of one animal will not be done in front of another animal. So that is our Islamic teaching. Third one, remember that the knife must be very, very sharp. To use a blunt knife and so forth for the sacrifice, the slaughtering and so forth is not permissible in Islam. Now you, my brother, Tom, Dick and Harry, Tom, Dick and Mary, so let us juxtapose your system now. So when we study what is going on in the world today, so if you take your chicken, you must remember that, you know, I don't know if you've been to abattoirs or not. So when you go to the abattoir, you will see that, you know, they had rainbow chicken there. There in Hammersdale, next to Marisburg. And I don't know if they're still doing it the same amount. But the last time I visited them, so they were slaughtering 275,000 chicken per day. And 300,000 it went up to. So they would then put them all, hang them all upside down and shock them and so forth. And then you must remember, if you go to the other animals, then the cattle and so forth, then they would be using that gun. And you must remember, they would shoot them and so forth. So this is what you call stunning of the animals, shocking of the animals. Do you know all this, your rainbow chicken and other chicken, they never ever saw sunlight. They were all kept in the dark. Because why? They all are artificially, you must remember, now given injections, given the food, so they must become maximum size in minimum time. So if you study and juxtapose your capitalistic, secular, democratic world, then the whole thing only is focusing on making money a maximum amount in minimum amount of time. So you should be the last people as non-Muslims to ask us as Muslims. We are the one who follow the natural system of every prophet and every messenger. Therefore, our verdict is your rainbow chicken and all this that you'll sell in the KFCs and all that is all haram and not permissible. That is our fatwa, is our verdict. And everybody knows about it. And secondly, that we say that the Western system is always a hypocritical. They are hypocrites in their stance. They have double standards. They will tell me, Abdel, the world of human rights. But when it comes to the baby, the fetus, in the womb of the mother, then they are the first ones to go and allow abortion. Abortion in Islam is murder. Remember that. And tomorrow, in this world, people will get away with impunity. But tomorrow, on the day of justice, that same baby, boy or girl, will ask the question, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. That child will ask, that for which crime did I commit, that you killed me and I was killed. So this is enshrined in the Noble Quran, in chapter 81 and verses 8 and 9. So it shows, whether you want to speak of human rights, whether you want to speak of animal rights, there is no system in the entire world that will beat and can better the Islamic system, because our Islamic system is always the natural system, fitratullahi allati fatara an-nasa alayha. And remember that Almighty Allah has mentioned that the Islamic system is the natural system, and la tabdila li khalqillah, and no one can change the creation of Almighty Allah jalla wa ala. So therefore, brother, when we want to study Islam, then we must study it, you know, without any jaundiced eyes. When we have jaundiced eyes, and I show you, you must remember that way there, what apple is this, a red apple, then you will tell me it's yellow. But now the fault is not mine. The fault is not the apple. The fault is you, the person who's studying it and looking at it with jaundiced eyes. So kam min aibin qawlan sahiha wa afatuhu min al-fahmi saqimi. How many people raise objections or they ask questions because they think they're right and we are wrong. But the problem is their mental defect or mental disorder. So if you want that verse, everything is natural in Islam, then chapter 30 and verse number 30. Subhanallah, very easy for you to remember, chapter 30 and verse number 30. And on a lighter side, Tom, Dick and Harry, Tom, Dick and Mary, I mentioned it yesterday in the news, views and interviews. A person put a big board, you see, and he said that beware, there is an egg shortage. There's a shortage of eggs because now they are identifying the hens as roosters. You see, that they can't make out which one is the hen and which one is the rooster. So that is the whole LGBT movement. They don't know their entry from their exit, brother. So that's why we condemn all this in the strongest terms.
Mufti Sahib, what are the occasions when the Sharia permits to slaughter animals?
First and foremost, Maulana, mashallah, you have four children. So you know today is Thursday. So now your wife gave birth, mashallah, today, this morning, this afternoon, whatever example we are giving. So then next week, Wednesday, is your Masabir, is the seventh day. So if it is tonight she gave birth, so then it is Friday, then Thursday will be the seventh day. So that's how you calculate. So if it is a boy, then you slaughter two goats or two sheep. If it is a girl, then you slaughter one goat or one sheep. All this is sunnah, meaning if you can afford it, then you should do it and don't look for excuses and so forth. So why? Why do we slaughter all this? So it's called aqiqah. Aqiqah will mean that you cut and we slaughter and sacrifice and so forth. So amitu anhul adha. One is his thanksgiving to Almighty Allah. Oh Almighty Allah, you blessed us with this handsome son, beautiful daughter, and so forth, so on. Second one, Ya Allah, in future, any harm that might be coming the way of my son, my daughter, so you remove it with the barakah and blessing of this animal, yeah, and so forth. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, student, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, wrote a wonderful book on this topic, that Tuhfatul Mawlud bi Ahkamil Mawlud, Tuhfatul Mawlud bi Ahkamil Mawlud. So remember that, a wonderful good book that is. So anyway, like that, the ulama have written a lot about aqiqah and so forth and so on. What we should know is four or five things regarding aqiqah. Number one is this, the laws that apply to qurbani will apply to aqiqah as well. For example, I just give one example. Hanafis say that the qurbani animal, the meat, you can give to Muslim or non-Muslim. So similarly with aqiqah, you can give to Muslim and non-Muslim. That is the Hanafi jurists and scholars. But Shafis, Ambalis and them, they say no. Qurbani meat must be given to Muslims only exclusively. So similarly with aqiqah, you give to Muslims only, right? And not to non-Muslims. Second one, there is an academic discussion. A person, for some reason or the other, maybe he was poor or maybe he was lazy, neglectful. He or she, the father, mother, did not perform, did not make the aqiqah for the children, right? The child, the children. Now, when those children become baligh, now they are 14, 15, 16, 18. Then they say, I want to make aqiqah. So the question is this, can you make aqiqah ba'd al-bulugh? After the child has attained, obtained the age of puberty, maturity, Hanafis say yes, Shafis, Hanbalis and them say no, that there is no aqiqah ba'd al-bulugh. That is what the Shafis and them say. So all these are academic discussion, obviously. Third one, now the child was alive for 1 week, 1 month, 3 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months, and then the child passed away. So after a short period, so now is the aqiqah for a child that passed away? No, ijma'an, there is no aqiqah. So these are basic rules that we must know and so forth and so on. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, was a genius, and remember that he made istimbat ijtihad. Therefore, in Ar-Risala, which is his work and one of the first usulul fiqh works, there is the law is this, wala inkara fil ijtihad. When there is no clear-cut nusus and text, divine text, prophetic text, and so forth, and then you apply, but you have the necessary knowledge and taqwa and piety and all those qualities, so remember, not idiot speaking ijtihad like today, you know, that every second person thinks he's a mujtahid. He can't even read Quran properly looking inside. Don't even know hadith and the meaning of hadith properly. So that is rejected, obviously. So wala inkara fil ijtihad. Then you will not object on their ijtihad. If it is correct, they get double reward. And if it's incorrect, they still get reward. Idha asab al hakim fa asaba falahu ajran. When you might ijtahad al hakim and fa asaba falahu ajran. Wa idha ijtahad al hakim and fa akhta falahu ajrun. You open Mishkat Mustada Ahmad, you will find it. Hakim here means the judge, the qazi, the prime minister, president, provided he got knowledge and everything with taqwa and all. And not ignorant people like today we find. So remember, then he'll get rewarded for that. So Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah used to say regarding aqiqah, that when you now slaughtered, sacrificed the goats, the sheep, whatever, then now you're chopping it up, you're slicing it, then leave it as big slices. Big chunks. Don't make small, tiny, like, you know, sometime Qurbani time, we tell the person, for example, I'm going to slaughter there in the deer, you understand? When I say I'm going to slaughter, I don't mean I'm going to slaughter physically. So I won't be here also, but I'm just saying that they will do it. So sometimes we tell them that we want the ten slices and so forth and so. Then they do whatever you tell you. You tell them. So anyway, that now Imam Shafi says, when it comes to aqiqah, you must leave the meat as big chunks. And don't make it small, you know, slices and pieces. Now you ask him why. He said, we must take tafa'ul, we must take good omen. In Islam, to take good omen is good, and to take bad omen is not permissible. So remember that in Islam. So what is the good omen? Ya Allah, this is my son, this is my daughter. Never show me that occasion, Allah forbid, aliyazu billah, where they are involved in some accident and mishap and so forth, that their bodies are lying, the hand is somewhere, the feet is somewhere, the body is somewhere. You know, sometimes terrible, gruesome accidents take place and so forth. Now, I mean, this is called ijtihad. And you see the wisdom of it. Now, nobody's going to say it's a sunnah. Nobody's going to say it's compulsory. But you will say it is the ijtihad of Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. And it's a good ijtihad and a good reason. So therefore, we will say it is permissible, mustahab, good. But you can't call it sunnah and so forth. So that is what we must always try and understand.
Mufti Sahib, what animals can be slaughtered? And while we're on the topic, a person asks, why can't we slaughter a chicken?
So you must remember our Islam is Surah 3, verse 31. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. That if you really love Almighty Allah Jalla wala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Then follow me, Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immaculately. Today we translate it, Iba, follow. It's incomplete translation. You must translate it, follow me immaculately. That is the translation. Then two things will happen. Chapter 3, verse 31. Yuhbibkumullah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. And then you become the beloved of Almighty Allah, and your sins will be forgiven, that Allah will forgive your sins. So our deen of Islam is ati'ullah wa ati'u rasul, that you must be obedient to Almighty Allah, be obedient to the Master Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not my intelligence, my intellect, your understanding, no. Islam is supra-logical. So when we come to Qurbani, then it's supra-logical. We say the animal must be minal an'am. Minal an'am means the goat family, sheep family, the cow family, the camel family. So you can't be slaughtering, you must remember, for example, a buck. You see, you say that no, the buck is also all right. No, it's not all right. You can't be slaughtering a chicken or a fowl and all these type of things. Why? Because it's against the teachings of Almighty Allah, against the teaching of Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Almighty Allah states, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. If it's not qurbani, then it's fine. You this weekend, yeah, you want to go hunting, you go and shoot a buck or something, or you slaughter chicken or whatever, it's fine. And you have your family, and nobody's going to object on that, provided everything is done properly, you read Bismillah, there's no stunning involved, and all these type of things with this goat and sheep and all that, or the chicken, as I explained to you what happens in the abattoirs. Therefore, these halal organizations and these halal logos, we said it 1,000 times now, that we have no confidence in any one of them, and we say those halal logos are not worth the paper on which they are written. We have to be clear on all these issues as well.
Mufti Sahab, what are the important aspects to know when slaughtering?
Remember that when you're slaughtering, then you should be facing the Qibla. You should be reading Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. If it is Qurbani and so forth, then before slaughtering, then the animal also should be facing the Qibla. You face the Qibla and read the dua of Khalilullah, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara samawati wal arda hanifa wa ma ana min al mushrikeen. So in that way there, Ya Allah, I turn my body, my anatomy, my face and everything to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So now it may be facing towards Qibla. And Allah, inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara samawati wal arda. Allah created the heavens and the earth. Fatar fatira samawati wal ard. وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. So fatir, fatar, all that means, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَالِكُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah is the creator of everything. مِنْ غَيْرِ مِثَالٍ سَابِقٍ. There was no diagram, there was no specimen, there was no architect, there was nothing. Allah created it and created it perfectly. So that is, we must understand the meaning of all this. Khalik, Allah is the creator. Huwa Allahu al-Khaliqu al-Bari'u al-Mu'idu. Allah will resurrect us. Fatiru, Allah Ta'ala created the universe and the creation without any specimen, diagram, all these things here. So today people want to put up a building or they want to do something, then they look for, you must remember certain samples, examples, diagrams, all nothing like that by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So fatara samawati wal arda hanifa, and I turn away from all the false ideologies. Wama ana min al mushrikeen, and I am not from the idol worshippers, the polytheists and so forth. Then you have your sharp knife, you feed the animal, you give it water and so forth, and then with a swift movement, then you will sacrifice and slaughter the animal. Before slaughtering, remember, then you will read the dua, obviously, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and that Bismillah is compulsory, remember that. And if you don't read it, then that animal is meta. That's our objection on this 300,000 in rainbow chicken and whatever. You can have 30 slaughterers, 50 slaughterers, how many? You can give them 1 hour, 2 hour break. By the time you work out, it means that that person had to read Bismillah 10,000 times, 8,000 times, 5,000 times per day. And that what happens when he yawns? What happens when he sneezes? What happens, you must remember? He himself, he'll never be able to do it. So therefore, we're fooling ourselves by saying all these things are halal and so forth and so on. Another issue here also, that remember when we are slaughtering, then there must not be other animals there in the presence of the animal that we are slaughtering. So Islam has all these checks and balances in place so that we have the most humane manner of slaughtering, which must be an example for humanity and posterity. And that is why we cannot agree with what is happening in 90%, 95% Muslim countries, Arab countries, regarding their abattoirs and so forth and so on.
Mufti Sahab, before we go for the break, the question is, is there different rewards for slaughtering different animals for qurbani?
Remember that, let me give you an outline, then you will understand things properly. And let me mention to you a book, because you like books also. Regarding, animals, this is now nothing to do with qurbani, this is generally animals. So maybe you like hunting and so forth and so on. So you must remember the best book is a masterpiece. It's in Arabic, it's called Munyatus Sayyadin. Any one of you, the ulama, the students, the Arabs, you know Arabic. So Munya, Mim, Nun, Ya, and Ta Marbuta. Sayyadin with a sword. Munyatus Sayyadin. The copy I have is a black cover, you must remember. It's a masterpiece, that book. Excellent. So that's the best book to read on this topic here. Hunting and animals and so forth and so on. Then, these animals, you must remember, ala arbati aqsamin. These animals you get four different types. So once you know this, then you understood a big bab of knowledge, a big chapter portion, and a chapter of knowledge. Like some animals are maksus bil makan and maksus bil zaman. Maksus bil makan and zaman means they must be slaughtered in a particular time and a particular place. So what is that? Now the hujjaj are going. This morning, Fajr time, I went. The brother came. We said, I'm leaving for Hajj. During the course of the day, in the morning, when answering, people are sending me messages. We're leaving for Hajj. So whenever they say, I just forward the Hajj kitab to them and so forth and so on. So when you're going, and 90% are going to perform tamattu hajj, first time hajjis they are, so they can't perform ifrad and qiran. How long will they stay in the haram? So they will have to give this dam and then. So obviously we discourage them and tell them you perform umrah first and you go to Medina, come there to Makkah, perform umrah. After your umrah, now you made tawaf, read your salat, made sa'iq, shave your hair, the women cut your hair. Then you're out of your haram, you're back in your normal clothes, husband-wife relationship, all permissible. Then on the 8th of Zulhijjah, so you must remember you're going to don the ihram again. Then Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, on the 10th you will come, and then you will slaughter. Now, makhsus bil makan. So that animal, the hadi, the dame shukr for qiran hajj and tamattu hajj, must be done in the haram. Either you slaughter in Makkah, Mina, and so forth, or it must be done in special time. You can't slaughter when you feel like. So you slaughter on the 10th, on the 11th, and 12th, like that. So that is, both are specific, the time and the place, right? So second one is makhsus bil zaman, but not makhsus bil makan. So you can do it anywhere, but the timing must be there. So that is our qurbani, our udhiya. I explained to you last week. So what is udhiya, what is qurbani, all that. So it must be done on the 10th, 11th, 12th. Only Imam Shafi says on the 13th it can be done. Majority scholars say no, only 3 days. So the timing is specific. Maksus bis zaman. But you do it anywhere in the world. So you call that maksus bis zaman faqat. And not no maksus bil makan. Anywhere it can be done. Right? Then the third one is this is very important. This is maksus bil makan. But remember, you can do it anytime. Today people are always looking for loopholes and so forth. So now they go and they fasten ihram in Jeddah. Then they go and perform their umrah. Some don't go with ihram at all. Now when they reach Makkah, they say, hey, I didn't. But for me, they made intention of umrah. So then they go there to Masjid Aisha Tan'im, and then they, so you fasten the ihram there. So in those cases, man tajawaza anil miqat. So when you pass the miqat, Sheikh bin Baz Rahimullah wrote one nice fatwa on this. He said, sawa'an bil barri, or bil bahri, or bil jawi. Any way you came, whether you came bil bahar, by ocean, by sea, ship, or bil jaw, by plane, or bil bar, by land, you came by car and all that. You know, neighboring countries, they come by vehicles. And you fasten your ihram in Jeddah, then fa alayhi dam. So this is called damul jinayat. So damul jinayat means you can't eat from that animal. And it's, so you are now slaughtering the animal for the crime you committed. And this will compensate how in salat we perform sajda isaw. So this is damul jinayat. It will compensate for the umrah and the hajj. But it must be done in the haram. So any time of the year, so is maksus bil makan, but not maksus bil zaman. So people do upside down things all that, so you call it dam, so maksus bil makan. You can't do it in South Africa or Africa, America, Europe and all. Must be done there in the haram area. See? So that's your third one. And fourth one is no makan, is not maksus bil makan, and not maksus bil zaman. And what is that? Akika. So we say seventh day is sunnah, but nobody will say it's compulsory. So you don't do it on the seventh day, you do it on the 14th day, 21st day, or after that, before that, so it's all permissible. On the third day you do it, so it's permissible. So you must remember like that. So it is not maksus bil makan or bil zaman. So that's a big usul to remember and so forth. Regarding the rewards, obviously the law is this in Islam, ujurukum ala qadri mashaqqatikum. If you slaughtered a camel and another person slaughtered the goat, so obviously the person who slaughtered the camel or the cow, their reward will be much more, because you must remember the expenses were more also, you see. So that, while we're on that, and before we go for the break, so remember this, that just today I told somebody, you know how many people are advertising? And Hazrat Muhammad Sadiq Desai, Hafizahullah, he exposed it, one person there. So, Qurbani, mass fraud. You see, how they take people for a ride. When we sent out that article, people phoning, contacting us and saying, I gave that guy money for a well, I gave money for this, I gave money for this and this and this. So how many people they took for a ride? Therefore, I'm raising this issue. You like, don't like, that's your business. You must remember that. Our function, our duty, is to propagate the deen of Islam and its pristine purity without apologizing and without compromising. We are not here to defend Muslims or defend Hajj agents or Qurbani agents or this person or this organization. No. Our function is to defend Islam and to propagate Islam. And you see what's happening. It's only Allah's fazl, Allah's mercy, Allah's grace, bi rahmatihi wa karamihi wa judihi wa lutfihi, that people are embracing Islam. Yesterday, the pastor, Abdullah, he embraced Islam. I'm in contact with him now, mashallah. Our brother, Ibrahim Anderson. Over 100 people in the past month embraced Islam. Local, international. So, now they bring. They want the true Islam. They don't want your artificial Islam. They don't want your imitation Islam. They don't want your redefined Islam. They want the pure Islam. Now, why I'm mentioning this? Now just go to your newspapers or internet and put Qurbani, South Africa, other countries, here and there and where. The advertising, Qurbani 250 rand a share, 270 rand a share, South African currency, 300 rand a share, and they're going to slaughter in India and that. Do I believe it? No, I don't believe it. Well, I recommend them, recommend these organizations, that to anybody that they must slaughter with them, no, I'll never do that. Therefore, people, they send me. People send me. their Qurbani and us for advertise. No, I don't advertise. You understand? So I only advertise one Qurbani of Majlisul Ulama. We know Hazrat Maulana got nothing to do with the money and us and all that. He's doing it as a service to humanity and so forth. There's no commission there. There's no making money there and so forth and so on. And they're not doing from now. They got a whole track record. They know the poorest of the poorest who maybe never tasted meat for 3-6 months or something. So therefore, rather give them. So why must we give these people here who must go there to India? Sometime they go. Then they have to spend money on the hotel. And then they have to still make the commission and the profit, P-R-O-F-I-T. And then they tell you 300 rand. So I told you how they do it. They'll collect from 100, from 1,000 people. They say, oh, you can take one goat, one sheep for Isa alayhi salam. You can take two, you can take this. So they slaughter one goat, or two goats, or five goats, or one cow, or whatever it is. And they'll say, this is Isa alayhi salam. And they'll show everybody the same animal. So like that, who knows which animal is who? I'm asking you. You know which animal. So that's the racket that's running, you must remember. So therefore, we need to be very straight. We don't have to curry favor with people and bootleg people. We have to speak the truth, qulu qawlan sadida. Remember that. Quran says, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, qulil haqqa walau kana murra. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, authentic hadith in Mustad Ahmad, and that is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. Ya Aba Dharr, qul al-haqqa walau kana murra. Speak the truth even though it is bitter. So that is our function, our duty. So inshallah we go for a break now, and then we'll continue with the... And you got questions? Then you send in your WhatsApp quickly. Then Mawzaid inshallah will pose the question. 084-786-3132. Beyond the borders of South Africa, +27. Then it is 84-786-3132. And inshallah, we'll try our best to answer your questions.
Inshallah, we'll meet you after the break.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you back to this program. Mufti Sahab, the question is, why is Eid al-Fitr connected to Ramadan and why is Eid al-Adha connected to Arafat?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You see, the first thing we need to understand is this. When we speak of our Eid, Eid al-Fitr, first of Shawwal, or Eid al-Adha, that is the 10th of Zulhijjah, is not a celebration like the non-Muslim celebration. You must remember that. What is their celebration? Their wine, dine and swine and all this. I give you 2-3 easy examples. These same people who became Muslim now this week here. So he was a pastor, but alhamdulillah, they're Muslim. I pose one question to them. Show me anywhere in the Bible where it is written that Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus, peace be upon him, was born on 25th December. I've been to Palestine 5 times. I was there December time. You know how cold it is. It's midwinter. We used to keep wudu from Zohar to Isha. Because days are short, you must remember. Because no hot water there when you go on the outskirts. All cold water. So cut long story short, so go to the Bible and see in Luke, go look in Luke, L-U-K-E. You will see the animals were grazing and so forth and so on. And Quran Sharif also tells us this, that when Sayyidah Maryam radiallahu anha, Allah is making divine provision arrangements for her. So what Allah says, وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِزْءِ النَّخْلَى تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. So the rutab and all that will be in June, July. In midsummer, it won't be in December. So therefore, that is a lie. When I went to America, I went twice in 2000. First time I went with my brother. Yusuf Dokrat, he passed away. Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus. I said, my wife, because he took out our passport, he took the passports and visas. I told him, no, you must take my wife. He told me also, bring the wife. So we both had 10-year visa for America, those years, before 9/11. So cut long story short, so we were there in America and that for Tarawih and that 5-6 weeks we were there. 1st of January 2001, so I won't forget that we were in Niagara Falls. I wanted to make sure my wife must see Niagara Falls. For me it was very beautiful. I saw it in summer and now I'm seeing it in winter, and it's all, the water is ice. Minus 18, minus 20 degrees. So now these people, that it's so cold, but you walk around there, you will find condoms everywhere. So that is their celebration. Their Christmas, their New Year and all that. So we must there now get out of that frame of mind and understand in Islam, our Eid is a day, la'allakum tashkurun. So that Surah 2, verse number 185. We thanking Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, you blessed us with this month of Ramadan. We were making siyam during the day. We were making qiyam during the night. And we were reading our 20 rakats and so forth. And now you spared us so that we can make shukr to you. We can be grateful to you. And if you study both verses regarding Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, you will find what you call mushtaraka. You will find a portion there. Allah Ta'ala says in context of both, Allah Ta'ala says, لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. Your Eid al-Fitr also, وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. You must glorify the name of Almighty Allah. Why? Because Almighty Allah blessed you and gave you hidayat. Zayn Habibuna, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَهَدْزَيِّنُوا أَعْيَادَكُمْ بِالتَّكْبِيرِ. As authentic is hadith in Tabarani. So beautify your Eid, remember with the takbir. Therefore we say loudly, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. So you see Quran chapter 2 verse 185. Now you come to Eid al-Adha. So 29th of June, inshallah, will be Eid al-Adha. So what Allah says, that in Surah Hajj, chapter 22, verse 37, كَذَٰلِكَ سَخَّرَهَا لَكُمْ. Similarly, Allah Ta'ala subjugated these animals for you. You see? So now you take the camel. You know how big a camel is. You take a cow. And Allah made it for us. لَكُمْ, for your benefit. لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. You see? So it shows that our Eid is not wine, dine and swine and carry on like the animals and that. Nay, it is an act of worship where we thanking Almighty Allah, where we glorifying the name of Almighty Allah. And see that brother who asked the question in the beginning, chapter 22, verse 37, here we're speaking of sacrifice. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and give glad tidings to those muhsineen who fulfill their duty with beauty. Now add this with the hadith I gave you. Inna Allah katab al-ihsan ala kulli shay. You see? So that is how you will understand it. Now we have to answer two things to the Salafis. And I pose this question to them. See how they tangle themselves up and make fools and idiots of themselves. See, I show you. We say, because we said Eid al-Fitr is what? Eid al-Fitr is, you must remember, a day of thanksgiving. La'allakum tashkurun, Quran says. So why we are thanking Allah? Ya Allah, we kept siyam. Daytime, we are fasting. So everybody is fasting. The kuffar shias, they fast right another 20 minutes and all that. After sunset, half an hour. They kuffar, they are out of the question. So we all are fasting. Then Tarawih, we read 20 rakats. Now these Salafis, they say, no. It's hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Now go look at that hadith of Siddiq Hazrat Aisha. It's written there, two things works, not hujjatan lahum, is hujjatan alayhim. It's dalil against them. But you see, when you Salafi, you become a little bit blind also. You become zigzag. So Nabi alayhi salatu salam would read 8 rakats. Fi Ramadan wa fi ghayrihi. Fi Ramadan wa fi ghayrihi. So that fi ghayrihi, in our Islamic terminology, we call it a qarina, a sign, to tell you that that hadith in Bukhari, Muslim, wherever, got nothing to do with Taraweeh. It's to do with Tahajjud. Who reads Taraweeh in the other 11 months? But these Salafi, crooked brains, you know. So remember that, they will say, no, that's from, this is our, you know, manid da'a shay'an fa alayhi dalil. When you claim something, you must cite the dalil. So you say 8 rakats Taraweeh, and you bring dalil of 8 rakat Tahajjud. There must be tatabuk. There must be a connection and suitability between the claim and the evidence. And this is not, is laysa fa laysa. It's not happening here. You understand the argument? Any Muslim you ask, see the word there, fi Ramadan wa fi ghayri. So there. So, and second one is dalil alayhim. You go ask the Salafis, can you read Taraweeh in 4 rakats, 4 rakats? They'll tell you no. You must read in 2s. Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha says, radiallahu anha, Swalla arba'an, fala tas'al an husdihinna wa tulihinna. Don't even ask how beautiful it was and how long it was. One day, I was sitting by our Ustad Sheikh Sabuni, you know. He wrote a book also against the Salafis on this Taraweeh issue and all that. So I got it there somewhere in the library. It's like a light green cover or something. Anyway, so one person came and he started telling Sheikh, no, it's 8 rakats and this and this. So Sheikh Sabuni is telling him that, you see, this is to do with Tahajjud. It's nothing to do with your Taraweeh. You understood? And that person accepted. So I told him, Sheikh, that give me permission now to ask him one question. So Sheikh looked at me, said, okay, tafaddal, go. I said, brother, iqra al-hadith. Swalla arba'an, thumma salla arba'an, and then fala tas'al an husnihinna wa tulihinna. So if you take the superficial meaning, it means Nabi alayhi salam read 4 rakats, not 2. And then don't ask about how long it was and how beautiful it was. So I asked him, Sheikh, your brother, whatever, if you say 8 rakats, how are you going to read? You read 2-2 or you read 4-4? You say, I read 2-2. I say, well, the hadith say 4-4. You see? So is your dalil or is dalil against you? You see? That's why these Salafis, they tangle things up in such a manner, they get confused themselves and they want to blow the other people's fuses. So that sorts out your Eid al-Fitr, right? Now come to Eid al-Adha. So today is day of Arafat. Example, obviously, now. So the next day will be Hajj, right? So Arafat, now there are many reasons why it's called Arafat. I just give you quick 2 reasons, time is going. One reason, this now got no Quran hadith, Mu'arrikhin, they have written this, historians. So they wrote that Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam, when he was transferred from Jannah, he landed in Sri Lanka, right, and so forth. And then you must remember, Sayyida Hawa, she came and transferred to Jeddah. So they were walking, and they met in Arafat, you see. So he's fine, it's history. Another reason, Arafat, you say Arf, and Arfu Shadi. You see, it's the Lamash Kashmiri's notes, you must remember, on Tirmidhi. So it means perfume, fragrance. So Arafat got perfume, fragrance. What is the fragrance? Allah's special mercy is descending on the 9th of Zulhijjah on the Hujjaj. Therefore, the hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi, Al-Hajju Arafah, and Imam Tirmidhi says, وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ أُمُّ الْمَنَاسِكُ. And this hadith is the pinnacle, is the mother of all the actions of Hajj. Right? We all agree till there. And next day is Eid, Eid al-Adha. There's different thing, Hujjaj, they don't read Eid and all that. Nabi alayhi salam didn't perform Eid Salat. When he, the master alayhi salatu salam, performed Hajjatul Bida. We're speaking about Eid, right, finish. But in Makkah, they read Eid al-Adha Salat. The people who are not, the 90% are not performing Hajj, the locals and all, right. So all that we finished. The question we are posing is this. And this is directly to the Salafis. I personally asked the Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia. They used to invite me for conferences. So we asked him, and I asked him this question. There you can't ask direct, you have to write. So I asked him, writing that, what is your Nizam and your system about the Hilal? So the same Grand Mufti, in Saudi Arabia, to become Grand Mufti, you have to be blind also, you know. So first was Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah. I met him several times in his house in Yemen. And this Mufti, many times I met him, Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah Ali Sheikh. So now they all very frightened, they can't speak one word against MBS, the Murtad bin Shaitan. But that we are welcome to that. If you go study, now let's go to what the Grand Mufti said. Grand Mufti told us in the conference openly, he says, we only sight the moon 4 months in a year, 4 months in a year, 12 months. So the other 8 months, these are his words, I'm quoting him verbatim. He said, Laysa fiha ahkamun. So your Muharram, your Safar, Rabiul Awwal, Rabiul Akhir, Jumad al-Ula, Jumad al-Ukhra, and Jumad al-Akhira, your Rajab. So all the how many months already there? Is already 7 months gone. You see, we don't cite. Sha'ban they cite because the hadith in there, in the Tirmidhi, Ahsu hilala Sha'ban Ramadan. Right? Ramadan they cite. Eid al-Fitr they cite. Zilqada they don't cite. Zulhijjah they cite. So 8 months, no sighting. Now let us see how the Saudi sighting goes. You must remember in 1984, they had 28 days Ramadan. I think I showed you all the clip also and all that. So you must remember that. The Imams of the Haram had to tell the people, tomorrow you must fast and all these kind of things. The day after Eid and that. Before you keep your Shawwal fast and all that. So that, now imagine, they are the markers, but nothing. They don't know whether they're coming or going. In 2004, they had the date right. I was there. And after 3 days, they changed the date, you must remember, and said, no, that Hajj is like this and this. Why? Because George W. Bush inauguration was taking place. Can you believe that? I was in Medina, 14 minutes before sunset was the birth, the conjunction of the moon. I told the people that tomorrow is the 30th fast. Isha time, suddenly, bing, bing, bang, and all that, they announce is tomorrow is Eid. How can you rely on such people? Therefore, anybody tells me of Saudi sighting, for the past 30 years, 35 years, most of the time, I don't say all, most of the time, their Hajj dates are wrong, their Eid dates are wrong, and this is a deliberate ploy by the enemies of Islam. And therefore, Quran calls it Surah 9, verse 37, إِنَّمَا النَّسِيءُ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ. That Thursday playing with the moon and all that is another addition in the kufr. You see that? So, when you say Arafat, then you say the next day. But who's Arafat? They made a mistake intentionally, unintentionally. The Hajj is Kabul, is done, is valid. Next day is Eid. But for me and you, we can never ever follow the Saudi sighting and so forth. These, the Salafi guys will do that. Why? Because they get paid. Quran says, yu'minuna bil ghaib. But they say, yu'minuna bil jayb. That sheikh who gave some answer, this sheikh gave answer. I challenge them all. I challenge them all, bighayri istisna. Go on a public forum. I give you invitation to come here. And you must be prepared to repeat the words after me. MBS is murtad bin shaitan and out of the fold of Islam. Publicly, you must say that. Come show me how many of you Salafis are prepared to do that. Because you are scholars for dollars and you sold the deen of Islam. Don't worry, you didn't record it or you didn't get it. We sent out all my programs. We don't edit anything. So we'll send it to you. You will get it as is. Hoo-ba-hoo. You know, you'll get everything there, inshallah. Hoo-ba-hoo is Urdu. You might be wondering what language is that now. So you'll receive it. We thank all of you. Jazakallah khairan. And inshallah, the news now with Brother Suleiman Asop. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Saab and all our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah. We head on for the news. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.